opportunity to spend some time with Congressman Adam Kinzinger. He's on the line with us right now. Congressman, good morning.
Hey, fellas, good morning. How are you?
We're doing well this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's good. I've been home for a few days. That's been a nice change from the last few weeks.
Yeah, recharge the batteries a little bit and then go back and start doing it all over again.
Yeah, so you do, it's like you recharge and then you drain them, and then, you know, eventually the batteries just get old and they can't recharge anymore. But I'm not there yet.
I think he meant me by that. I think he was talking to me. He was looking at me when he said that.
Yeah, I was.
Is it like your laptop where they recommend you drain your batteries fully before recharging?
Maybe so.
I would think that's pretty close to what happened during the past few weeks. A lot of activity and lots of inactivity, I suppose, too, with the actual shutdown taking place. But got a deal. Obviously, government's back open. Debt ceiling's taken care of through the early part of 2014. Now, you voted in favor of opening up the government, in favor of the debt ceiling increase, actually ended up being a minority of the Republican caucus who supported that move. Tell us a little bit about why you voted to do so, how you feel that the caucus, what's the status of the caucus right now, too?
Well, I'll talk on the debt ceiling first. I actually think a majority of the caucus wanted it open, but there's a lot of people that were afraid of a primary challenge. They were afraid that some of these outside groups would come in and spend money against them because they didn't do exactly what they said. And so I think there was a sizable amount that wanted this to pass but wouldn't vote for it. And, you know, look, I don't believe in being part of the vote no, hope yes caucus or anything like that. I believe in voting what I think is right. If you look at this, we had the government shut down for 16 days. I've heard people say, no, I'm disappointed because you guys caved and didn't fight. I don't know how much more you could have fought. The government was shut down for 16 days, and we watched our polling numbers collapse in the face of that. Now, did the president take a hit? Yeah, but he took a much smaller hit than we took, which in politics, it's all relative, which theoretically makes him more popular in that relative scheme. So we saw that happen, and then some people were saying we should have gone over the debt limit. Now, the fiscally responsible thing, you know, fiscally conservative thing to do is to have a strong economy, an economy that doesn't get the faith shook in it, you know, that doesn't shake the faith of what it stands for. We've never defaulted on our debt, and I wasn't about to default now. And that would have been a massive, massive problem, including skyrocketing the cost of borrowing money, skyrocketing our interest rates, and it could have potentially even been game over. So, look, we gave it 16 days of a government shutdown, which nobody thought we would do. We did it. I feel that we fought on the wrong ground, but we did it, and it's done.
Now, where does that leave the divisions that we hear so much about in the Republican Party? Are we working to repair? Are these divisions that we're going to see, get worse and be exploited more? Or where do we go from here? Where's the cleanup effort go, I guess?
Yeah, unfortunately, look, we're a party that's very united in terms of what we believe. I just read an article recently about how this is actually the most monolithically conservative Republican Party that's ever existed. You remember back in the days of they used to call them Rockefeller Republicans. They were Republicans that were pro-choice and pro-big government, and those don't exist anymore. I mean, you look at almost every Republican is pro-life. We may only lose one or two in votes on abortion. You look at smaller government, we're all smaller government. All of us vote unanimously 40 times. I voted 10 times more than Ted Cruz to defund Obamacare and to repeal Obamacare. This is a very conservative group. The difference is the new litmus test for conservatism is not what do you believe. It's do you follow the tactics of what, frankly, the furthest, almost craziest thing said is. And, you know, these outside groups, you have a lot of outside groups that raise money on saying that Republicans aren't standing strong and being pure. That's how they make. Look at the Senate Conservative Fund, for instance. It's raised $3 million. Not a single drop of that has been spent against a Democrat or on behalf of a Republican. So you have these issues where now unfortunately, this is kind of out in the open, the divide in the Republican Party in terms of tactics. And, you know, look, I didn't believe that it was the right thing to do to shut down government or to default on our debt over Obamacare. I think it's worth fighting over bigger issues like, you know, frankly, entitlement spending and stuff like that. So, unfortunately, I think over the next few months, this may be kind of fought out in public a little bit, But I don't think anybody should have a doubt. We're a party very united in terms of what we believe.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger with us here, Ronley and Scott on WROK. And I think, for the most part, that's right, Congressman. They're mainly tactical in terms of beliefs. I'm not sure how far apart most of the caucus is. We talked with Randy Holkern last week, too, and he made the point, which is true. You look at how many times during the shutdown, all Republicans voted in favor of bills that were brought up to reopen the government. And guys like Peter King were upset at times, and guys who are on the more conservative wing were upset at times. But at the end of the day, everybody voted in favor of these measures moving forward. So I think the mainstream media at times always looks to see to say the party's cracking up. There's schisms. They're going to break off. There's going to be a third party.
And they'd love to see that.
They'd love to see it too. But in terms of beliefs and in terms of what members are working toward, I think it's still a relatively singular caucus.
Well, look, if we never want to win a national election again, then we ought to keep doing what we're doing, which is finding every reason why somebody doesn't belong to the Republican Party. I mean, I understand what's said about me and other members that I hear all the time. You vote differently than somebody wants one time, and they call you a rhino. They say you're not a real Republican. And I mean, that kind of talk is the easy way to keep alienating people from feeling like they're Republicans, and the quickest way to never win a national election. We wondered why we didn't win in 2012. Well, unfortunately, I think sometimes we feel like we're going down that same path. And let me say, too, about folks like Peter King and some of those kinds of people, these guys are holding seats in Democrat districts. These guys will never be elected if they, run as kind of the most ardent, if you want to call it, Tea Party conservative, because they represent people that are Democrats at heart, but like maybe Peter King, and like the fact that he can stand up to the Republican establishment, or like that, he's an independent-minded person. They're also the majority makers. It's people in those districts that are the reason that we took the majority in the House of Representatives, and the only reason that we have it. If people start losing, if Peter King, for instance, loses his reelection, it will be a Democrat that holds that seat for the rest of eternity, here until the end of the United States of America in thousands of years, because it's a Democrat district. So when I hear people on the radio calling, and I hear it on the national radio, calling some of these folks rhinos, these are the people that are the only reason that Nancy Pelosi is not Speaker of the House, and we don't have card check, we don't have cap and trade, we don't have an even more out-of-control EPA, and we didn't get a second stimulus because of folks in those majority-making districts.
So, and obviously you feel very strongly about this, and, the criticism, I'm sure, stings. Is this going to be part of a concerted effort to get that message out there again, that, the people who have been basically standing still, taking some slings and arrows, a little pushback?
Yeah, I think it's time. I mean, for years, actually for the last couple of years, people have felt paralyzed to be who they are because to represent their districts, because these outside groups will threaten primaries, and, if you... You can vote with us 8 out of 10 times, but it's those 2 out of 10 times make you not a real Republican, even though some of these outside groups don't really espouse Republican beliefs, to the extent that I'm not sure Ronald Reagan would recognize what some of these outside groups are actually advocating for. I think there's a little bit of a pushback now to say, look, we're going to represent our districts. I'll always represent the 16th District of Illinois. My voting card says on it, Adam Kinzinger, Illinois 16th District. It doesn't say, these outside groups like Freedom Works or Club for Growth or anything like that on it.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger with us here at Illinois 16th District, as he mentions. It's Riley and Scott here on WROK. So pushing forward, and the president is going to speak today on the terrible rollout of the Obamacare exchanges. He's going to have some people up there who have applied for insurance. We were kicking around earlier, What about a counter press conference later today? John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, and a whole bunch of people who have been fired, who are now part-time instead of full-time, who can't get on the website, who can't apply for insurance.
Go out to New Jersey, grab the seniors who had their policies canceled, things like that.
Yeah, there are.
I think that's a great idea. I'm not sure why they aren't, or maybe it's something we're going to do in the future here, but I think one of the things we've really made a mistake in is Republicans don't have an alternative plan. I don't know if part of that's because we can't necessarily pass one with just Republican votes, but I think we need an alternative to Obamacare. This has been a terrible rollout. Part of my criticism of the government shutdown was October 1st, every story was about a shutdown government versus the terrible rollout of Obamacare. But look, this thing is going to collapse on its own. The president is obviously in desperation mode, as I've been reading about, and this is going to carry out now exactly like we said it would. It's going to be a flawed program that the American people see right through. And hopefully one of these days, and as the head of Heritage Action, Michael Needham, said, it's not going to be until 2017 until we can probably repeal it, but we're going to keep trying, is what I say. We'll keep trying until we can get it done. So hopefully get there. The other thing I'll say, by the way, is the president made a big deal about how he would negotiate with Republicans only after the government was open again. I am really excited now that the president has basically now has to follow through on his promise to negotiate with Republicans. Let's see if he was honest.
I was going to say, do we want to wager on whether or not that's going to happen?
I'll take the under.
Speaking of which, Congressman, you know, the debt deficit talks are going on. Paul Ryan, Jeff Sessions, Patty Murray, Chris Van Hollen, they're all talking about a potential actual budget instead of a continuing resolution into the future. Are you hopeful that there will be an agreement? Are the two sides so far apart that we might be looking at CRs for the near future? And is that the worst thing, considering that sequestration-level spending is now kind of locked in those CRs? There is some spending reductions, perhaps not where we want it to be. I know, you know, the military is kind of touched harder than some other places, but what's your feeling on how those debt deficit negotiations might go?
Yeah, I hope they go well. A budget is much better than a continuing resolution, because what happened is when Pelosi became Speaker, they basically passed a budget. They passed a spending level, which plussed up Democrat priorities and cut down Republican priorities. A continuing resolution since 2007 has been how we've done this, which means it's locked in that misproportion of funds. So it's locked in Republicans having less money on their programs and Democrats having more on theirs. If we go to a real budgeting program or process, the House will be able to have our priorities. So we'll be able to, you know, have things like NASA research at a higher level and military and stuff like that. Now, the sequester levels are locked in by the Budget Control Act, which means even if we go to a budget versus a continuing resolution, we'll still have to follow those sequester caps. Now, the only way that'll change is Republicans can use sequester caps to give up some of that cuts in order to get cuts in the mandatory side of the House and the entitlement program side of the House, you know, for younger people to reform these programs, which actually have a much greater impact on national debt, not only in the years close to us, but in the out years. We're talking trillions of dollars of impact in the long run. So, I think if we can replace the cluster with better, more meaningful, and more impactful cuts, I'd be willing to do that.
Real quickly, Congressman Adam Kinzinger, before we let you go, Speaker Boehner took some criticism during the shutdown. Afterwards, though, got a number of words of support from members from across the Republican side of the aisle. Are you still confident in his abilities to lead the caucus? Do you think those in the Republican side of the House share your view?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's in no danger of losing his speakership. He's got the most unenviable job in Washington, D.C., and I think he's handled it pretty well. He has my confidence for sure.
Oh, one other quick note. Would you mind giving Ms. Sebelius a ride to Capitol Hill? Apparently, she can't get a ride to testify otherwise. A carburetor, something's going on. Flat tire, we're not really sure.
Yeah, I'm sure she's actually hiding away in some resort somewhere right now. Nobody knows where she is. So, I don't.
Yeah, you and I can comb some resorts.
Resort.
Yeah, we'll comb some resorts and look for her.
I will. I'll go look for her. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Congressman, as always, we appreciate you taking time out of your day to be on with us.
You bet, guys. Take care.
Thank you much. Congressman Adam Kinzinger, 23 after 8, morning update from Rush.
When the weather gets